their annual report or their SEC filing, where they have a section regarding actions against the institution. So one needed to click the link, go read their response, rather than see the response written out for them. It was because of that question that we then followed up in the oral presentation with the following question: elaborate on your response to question 8. Explain your process to discover and remediate the bank's fraudulent sales practices, such as fake accounts, etc. Elaborate on efforts, accomplishments to remediate the bank's culture and compensation systems.
Are you satisfied, based on your follow-up question, that did you make a judgment at any time during the process that their initial answer was misleading?
It wasn't misleading in that they denied having those issues. It was just hard to find.
And so you took the opportunity in the interview to press them on that?
Yes.
And you were then satisfied with their response?
Yes. The bank brought a team of individuals, each of whom spoke to that issue.
Okay.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. First of all, Jennifer, here we are again. I want to go through these in no particular order. Number one, Commissioner Fish asked a philosophical question about the loss of the headquarters of banks and us becoming, as he described it, something of a branch city. I would like to say we lost a tremendous amount during that process, and I would argue that this is a national trend. It is not just something happening in Portland, Oregon. I'm mindful of the fact that we have George Pasador sitting here today, who has served in the capacity as chairman and president of Wells Fargo, Oregon, and Southwest Washington. There are many people who work in the Wells Fargo regional network, including Tracy Curtis, who is responsible for it, and I know her personally, and I know the commitment that the regional bank has to social movements, nonprofit efforts, philanthropic support here in this community. And frankly, I find the local organization out of step with the national organization. And I find that a good thing. I think the national organization of Wells Fargo could learn a thing or two from the regional organization. I'd like to know something about, and by the way, just with regard to credit unions, yes, I did champion the bill along with current treasurer Tobias Reed, who is then state representative Tobias Reed, around credit unions participating in public fund depository actions, and the hope was to bring them into parity when it comes to public funds depository operations. The problem, of course, is they're just way, way, way too small. Mm-hmm. You have to be a really large, sophisticated banking operation to be able to do the business at the scale that we do business. And you'll notice there's a lot of big-name banks that weren't even on the list because they just don't have the capacity to do it. You mentioned that our primary client relationship is with somebody in Seattle. And I assume that it sounds like you feel that that individual and the operation here at the regional level is responsive. And I got that feeling, but I want to explore that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Account representative is very responsive to all of our inquiries. The bank has a team that is available to us, so I might call on a macro issue and someone on the treasury team might call about a particular check and was that check cashed. So the bank has a variety of resources that are available to us. Some are in California, some are in the state of Washington, and they are all available to us every time that we call.
So there's The next two on the list, in no particular order, J.P. Morgan Chase, that's Jamie Dimon's operation, and the U.S. Bank. I was a huge fan of Malia Wasson, in that one of our primary banking relationships for the state of Oregon, we had $90 billion of assets, and about, I believe it was about $175 billion in transactions annually. We did business with, I believe it was about 28 different banking institutions here in the state of Oregon. Malia Wasson, when she ran the U.S. bank operations here, was fabulous, and her team was fabulous, and they were highly responsive to our needs. And this gets back to Commissioner Fish's philosophical question. U.S. Bank shifted some of its operations and nationalized them, if I can use that term. Malia Wasson retired, and the quality of the relationship deteriorated precipitously and rapidly. And effectively, for certain lines of business, my recollection is they were terminated. J.P. Morgan, again, a big bank, lots of capacity. In my capacity as state treasurer, my recollection is I sued them at least once. So when we look at these big banking institutions, we are somewhat beholden to the reality that there are few banks that are of large scale and sufficient capacity to be able to do the business that we do and do it competently. But that's obviously coming with some trade-offs that are endemic to the modern banking industry. And we all saw this exposed in 2008. There were many books written on this subject, Too Big to Fail, amongst others. And we need to find the way to encourage local capacity around banking operations. But in the meanwhile, our choices are precipitously limited if our primary focus is ethics. And that is too bad. It really is to me. And as somebody who started my banking career at a California-based bank called Bank of America, and I watched it grow and nationalize and its headquarter operations move around, and I believe I sued them as well as state treasurer. In fact, I think it was one of my first acts as state treasurer.
I feel litigious, Ted.
It feels that way.
It feels
that way. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, Dan made a really good case here around ethics. Made a really good case, and I know Dan to be an ethical and principled man, so when he talks about ethics, I listen. Seattle went down this road, didn't they?
Yes.
What happened in Seattle?
The city of Seattle has banked with Wells Fargo for a number of years, and they had similar discussions at their city council about the appropriateness of continuing to bank with Wells Fargo. They stated publicly that they were going to rebid for their banking services and wanted to change from Wells Fargo to another institution. They received no bids. There were no banks that stepped up to say that they wanted to bank to provide the services for the city of Seattle.
So they came back to Wells Fargo.
So the city, realizing that they were left without a provider, picked up the phone and called Wells Fargo and said, "Would you mind remaining our bank?" And the bank said yes, and so my understanding is that they are currently negotiating a new contract.
Not a great position to negotiate from.
Particularly great politics either, I might add. Commissioner Fish.
I don't want to rain on what's been an outstanding discussion. I have an absence coming up, and I have to introduce someone at PSU, so...
Could I just ask one more question, then I'm done. How many banking relationships do we currently have at the city of Portland?
About 15.
And this isn't the only bank that we do business with.
This is the only bank that provides us the depository and other related services. We do a significant amount of work with U.S. Bank. They're our custodian. They do our lockbox. They do our merchant activity. And the rest of the relationships are on the depository side.
Yeah, and they're very good at those services, I should say. I rained on them a little bit, but in those areas they've been very good, and I want to acknowledge that publicly. Very good. So that ends my line of questioning. Colleagues, anything else?
I move the report.
We have a motion. I'll second it. Sue, could you please call the roll?
Well, first of all, I want to say I greatly appreciate this conversation, and this conversation really predates this hearing when Jennifer Cooperman offered briefings to each council office about the process and the looming decision. And really appreciate the time, Jennifer, you've taken to educate us about this. I want to begin by disclosing something. It's not a conflict. I'm not required to disclose it, but I think transparency is the best way to go. I currently bank at On Point Credit Union and have a couple of things, including, an auto loan through them. And I have an account with Wells Fargo. I think I'm probably in their loss leader account file because I don't have a mortgage. I don't have any loans, but they do provide very low-cost checking services for my wife and me. Again, I'm not required to disclose that. I don't have a stake, personal financial stake in this, but I think it's important. I believe this is a very close call. And I think historically we have been very reluctant to overturn a procurement report unless there was an extraordinary circumstance. First of all, I have reviewed this to see, did we follow our process? I think you've made it very clear in your written submission and in your oral presentation, the process has been clean. And the fact that there were no protests filed is reassuring to us, because the protests are often how we learn that there's some concern about the process. Nowhere have I learned that Wells Fargo was ineligible to apply. And I'm guessing, although this is just surmise, that they were subjected to a heightened scrutiny given the times we live in. I thought something that Ms. Cooperman said in passing was interesting about and important about the six-figure cost of switching to another bank. That should not be a deterrent for us deciding what we think is best for our city, but I think it is something to be factored in. I'm encouraged that we have an ironclad exit clause that allows us to terminate the relationship at any time at our discretion. Now, as a candidate, I learned that there's great enthusiasm in our community for things like a Citibank. There's great enthusiasm at the statewide level for a state bank. And who knows what the banking landscape will look like tomorrow, much less next year and the year after. But I think it's important that the contract that you are asking us to enter into has an exit clause, which is basically at our discretion. I have confidence that we can enter into this relationship with our eyes wide open. I have great confidence that Jennifer Cooperman and her team will bring to our attention any conduct which she thinks calls into question the viability of our relationship with Wells Fargo. And she would do that promptly, and the council would have the right to make its decision. I very much appreciated what the mayor said about Wells Fargo locally. I don't know whether they got points. Perhaps it fits under corporate responsibility. I have been struck over the years by the number of good causes they support and underwrite, and I'm particularly appreciate for their stalwart support of the LGBTQ community. I was also reflecting on the prospect of not awarding this contract to Wells Fargo, but going to J.P. Morgan Chase, which, as I, just a casual reader of the paper, they seem to be in the front lines of trying to gut in every possible way Dodd-Frank and many of the reforms that were put in place to prevent the kind of meltdown that occurred once in my lifetime, and we hope doesn't happen again. The Seattle experience is instructive. Be careful what you ask for. Seattle looked at this, said it was a close call, looked beyond the procurement process to the symbolism, went out and looked for other banks, found the door closed, and came back to Wells Fargo. I would prefer not to put you through that exercise, even though in this case, our only option if we voted to decline the report would be to reopen the process and wait to see. So we can't predict what would happen. But it seems to me, on a very close call, you've made a case for us to continue what has been a productive relationship with what, at least locally, has been a pretty good corporate citizen. and therefore I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, as I said, I have very mixed feelings here, but I do think I'm going to come down on the side of the conduct on the corporate side of the operation and the conduct on the private banking side of the operation, the small people, the retail customers, like you and I, who have been taken advantage of by this institution through fraudulent practices of pressuring people to open more accounts than they need, opening accounts in people's names without even telling them, forcing them to buy insurance that was probably unnecessary. And this wasn't just applied probably to every account holder. It was probably applied to those who were poor and probably largely minority account holders. And that is, to me, something us banking on the corporate side ought to take note of and ought to take an action. It's a symbolic action, as I said. It's small potatoes to a Wells Fargo, to a J.P. Morgan Chase, very small potatoes. And we may end up in the Seattle situation, but that's never stopped us from taking what we believe are important actions in the past. We have taken plenty of actions here in this city council without regard to cost, and six digits is probably one of the smaller costs we've incurred for some of the symbolic actions this council has taken. So I don't buy that. And I do believe, we need to send a message. And as I said earlier, punishment is in order. If we don't punish Wells Fargo now, I can't imagine what circumstances might bring us back to the table to exercise that clause that says the convenience clause. If we don't do it based on what's in front of us right now, we will never do it. So I believe that we should find another bank. And, 5 years, put Wells Fargo on a 5 years corrective action plan. If they can come back in 5 years and really show, they've remedied every customer that's been harmed by their fraudulent practices, B, that they've learned some lessons, and C, that, we mean more to them than maybe other banking customers. 5 years from now, maybe the city council will have a change of heart. But I believe right now that punishment is in order, and I vote no.
Udaly.
Well, I appreciate the deliberation on this subject and your presentation. I especially appreciate the principled stand my colleague just took. I largely agree with him. However, I don't believe that there is a viable alternative that is any more attractive than Wells Fargo. I'm concerned that if we reopen the process, we will be in a weakened bargaining or negotiating position, and I'm concerned about the cost of the city. I do want to say I would love to see us pursue other alternatives that we haven't talked about today, specifically municipal banking. But with regrets and reservations, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
So this has been as interesting a conversation as I predicted it would be. First of all, I want to thank the Chief Financial Officer Cooperman, and Larry, I want to thank you for withstanding hours of testimony with us this week. I've spent more time with you than my family, probably by a factor of three. This is not an easy one, obviously. And as I also want to acknowledge the selection committee. We had a lot of people from great, well-respected community institutions who agreed to do this process with us and put their institutional names on the record, and they did not have to do that. And as I look at sort of the top three banks on the list here, if this had failed today, and I'm going to obviously vote to support the procurement report, I'm going to put my trust and my faith in you, and I have a lot of trust and faith in you and the diligence of the selection committee, and everything I've heard leads me to believe they did a very thorough job. But I think about, Commissioner Fish cracked a joke, am I a lawyer? Actually, the Attorney General and I were very, very busy with all of these institutions. Not all of the institutions on the list, but the vast majority. And I'm thinking of foreign exchange fraud. One of the banks that we have just mentioned, does the London Whale ring a bell? There was a lawsuit there as well. None of these institutions are squeaky clean, and they should all be. They should all be. And so the comments that Commissioner Saltzman made about taking a principled stand, I agree with all of the reasons that he stated. I just don't think it practically gets us anywhere, because you will simply bring back one of those other institutions, and I will have to sit here and say, in all full disclosure, I fired that institution. How could I hire them here? If they weren't good enough at the state treasury, they're certainly not good enough for me now at the city of Portland. Or if I had to sue them one or two or three different times for malfeasance, why would I vote for them now? And I'm putting a bet on Tracy Curtis. I'm putting a bet on George Pasador, because there are people from our community who support our community or are engaged in philanthropy in our community. And I know where to find them. And I know where Wells Fargo is, because I look out my window at them. And so I feel more confident in this engagement than some of the potential other options that are on the table here. Now, for the longer term, I think there's an interesting question for our chief financial officer, which is, this contract of necessity is large and it is complex. And it is large and it is complex because of the way we organize our systems and our desire for centralization and economies of scale to keep costs low in our banking operations. This is Portland, Oregon, and people in Portland, Oregon, like Dan said, and or at least intimated, care a lot about ethics, and they care a lot about morality. And many people like me are very disturbed about the direction that our banking and our financed institutions have taken in recent years, and their seeming reluctance to make genuine steps towards the kind of reform that the public needs to see to have confidence in our not only national but our global financial system. Maybe we need to actually do something different in terms of breaking our system down a little bit and maybe sacrifice some of that centralization or sacrifice some of those economies of scale in exchange for being able to get the next rung of regional banks into the mix to bid on it. There is a cost. I want to be very clear. I don't want to pretend there is not. But maybe that incremental additional cost is actually worth it in terms of supporting institutions that are regional in nature. For example, Umpqua. And I'm not making a commercial or a pitch, but they're not on the list. They're not on the list because even they don't have the capacity, apparently, to bid for this size of business, this size and complexity. So maybe we need to be doing more to encourage the cultivation and development of some of our more local banks, because I think the closer you get to Portland, Oregon, the closer you're going to get to our values. That's my personal belief. So I vote aye to accept the report. The procurement report is accepted. We are adjourned. Thank you.